Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. As we react to the Flyers going down 0-3, that was a disaster last night. Flyers on the brink of elimination. A lot of issues, but I'm annoyed at the referees today. I just felt like that call changed the whole tenor of the game. That's a five-minute major. They called it a minor. It sucked the life out of the building, and unfortunately, the Flyers. Where do you come down on the game, the call, the refs, and where the Flyers are at right now? 215-592-9494. We'll get to the Sixers coming up in a few minutes as they get ready for a big game through tonight. We are on Embiid watch. Is he going to play? Same thing with OG Anunoby. The line on the game tells me a lot about those guys and their availability tonight. So we'll get to all that coming up. But Hugh, we had another game last night in town. And this one actually was an easy one to turn off of and put your full attention on the Flyers
because that's what it kind of did. It
was over very early. A's 12, Phillies 1. Now, all right, the Phillies probably were due for a loss, right? They were playing great baseball, 8 out of 9. A loss is not going to crush them as they try to push this thing back to where they want it to be. But it's not that they lost the game last night, Hugh. It's a brewing problem they have that I don't know their way out of this thing right now other than to just ride it out. Hugh, they've got an Andrew Painter problem. He is getting rocked. After last night's start, which he allowed 8 runs in 3 2/3, Andrew Painter now exits last night with a 6.89 earned run average. I mean, it's fair to say that he is one of the least effective starting pitchers right now in all of Major League Baseball. Hugh, what kind of Andrew Painter problem are we dealing with?
I don't look at it like that. Because we sacrificed the Phillies yesterday.
Oh, no, no, no. We sacrificed them for a win for the Flyers.
But a sacrifice is a sacrifice. Doesn't work out, then, you know, it is what it is. But yeah. we sacrificed them. So I can't be mad at Andrew Painter for the sacrifice. I know people are like, what the hell are you talking about? But yesterday, okay, give you a little context. We gave up the Phillies because they were on a winning streak.
Sure.
In order for the Flyers to win.
Well, a little.
It didn't happen that way, but that was the consensus on the show.
Okay, it was.
So now we can't come on. I feel like we can't come on the show and complain about the performance of the Phillies.
We can't because for the two reasons. One, we sacrificed the Phillies. We didn't say anything about Painter getting rocked, right? We just said it's okay if they lose.
That's fair.
And I would say this. If Painter had been pitching pretty well and then had one bad night, I think we could all just shrug it off and move on. He's not just had one bad night. I mean, he has not looked the part so far this season. And I think there's some context to this, right? He is young. It's his first year in the major leagues. He did not have a great year last year at AAA, so to just like wake up and expect him to dominate the major leagues, that's probably a lot. But we can't be running around with almost a 7 ERA. I mean, this is Taiwan Walker stuff. This is unbeatable.
Yeah, somebody just got fired for that a couple weeks ago. But he's the future. I'm not making excuses, but he is the future. And he is the one guy that we looked at and we've been waiting for with bated breath to come up. This is just a rough patch. He has to work his way through this, Joe.
Okay, so I agree with you, and I'm not saying they should send him down or anything like that, but let me frame it this way. Can the 2026 Phillies make the playoffs if they're sacrificing a game every fifth day? You know what I mean? Like, they put themselves in a hole.
Yeah, you put him in a position where he's not what he was billed to be.
Right, so they put themselves in a hole this year. They're climbing out, but when you start 9-19, you have to play really well for the next 4 months to kind of make up for that. And right now, it feels like to me they're giving away a game every time he pitches, or close to that, right? It's like the chances of winning are not great when Andrew Painter pitches. And that's not great. Now, I don't expect him to be an ace this year. I don't expect him to be dominant, but I need him to be a little bit better. I mean, that first inning, walk, home run. You felt like the game was over in the second inning.
Yeah, it went pretty quick because when I didn't see the beginning of the game, but I probably think it was like the second or third inning. Yeah. You kind of knew where it was going. And then I think Schwarber hit that bomb like a little later, but it was just that lead was just too much to overcome. Yeah, it was too much to overcome.
Well, and the issue for the Phillies is they really have not given themselves any sort of escape hatch here, right? Like let's use this for an example. Let's say Taiwan Walker was still in the organization and still pitching okay.
You could bring him. You could replace him with Taiwan.
Yeah, I mean, you could say Tainer needs a few weeks in AAA. He's going through some stuff. He can't find it. He can't locate his fastball. He's getting rocked. I mean, we've seen plenty of young players have to go back to the minor leagues. That's not out of the realm of possibility. But they don't really have anybody. By releasing Taiwan, they just kind of took that depth and said we don't want it here anymore. So my guess is they're just going
to make a move for a pitcher at some point.
Well, right? That also could be part of it. You know, when we go through the trade deadline, if Painter's still pitching like this and they're in the race, they may have to get a replacement for him. I mean, it's either that or just let him sink or swim or drown the whole year and they just deal with the consequences. Let's hear from Andrew Painter last night after the game, after he got beat up by the A's.
What can you take out of this one and sort of put this one behind you to get ready for the next one?
Yeah, I think we'll go and we'll look back tomorrow. Probably about some delivery stuff and where the misses are coming from specifically. But I think it's just, you know, being able to move the fastball around. I think I'm throwing pretty predictable pitches, and they're obviously seeing it well.
Well, his fastball is getting rocked. I mean, for a guy that throws very hard, it's not hard to hit. I mean, these guys are teeing off on his fastball. And, you know, perhaps this is not fair to him, but Hugh, every time I watch his starts for the rest of his career, you know what I'm going to think about? I'm going to think about the 3 years we waited for him and all the players that the Phillies chose not to trade him for at different trade deadlines.
You're going to be thinking about that.
Of course, because they built him as the best pitching prospect they've had since Cole Hamels. So, and he's probably going to turn out okay. But I look at him and I keep wondering, like, was all this worth it? We waited 3 years for this guy, and we also could have had other players that would have helped them win the World Series at 23, 24, 25. And we said, no thank you. Andrew Painter has to stay. Andrew Painter's the future. And right now, he's barely a Major League starter. I mean, it's pretty rough out there. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to Painter, and are you worried, and how big of a problem do we have right now? So that's one issue with the Phillies. We have one more we have to get to here. Well, I thought it was encouraging last night when the lineup came out, right? Because we discussed the Bohm thing. And is it time to Bohm to start to sit? And Mattingly's kind of moving on from Alec Bohm. Now, Mattingly did say some nice things about Bohm before the game. He still believes in him, still going to hit and all that kind of stuff. But actions speak louder than words. And Alec Bohm did not start the game last night.
Salsa.
What was that?
Sosa. Yeah.
I think you said salsa.
No, not salsa. Not yet. Got a little bit of time.
I was wondering if you're just going to start going into the Wawa reads in the middle of the segment.
Okay. I got about 15 minutes.
Okay. You seem like you're...
Yeah, I'm getting ready.
You got some anxiety about it.
Prepared.
I'm getting excited.
Preparing for an hour and a half for this read.
Yeah.
You better lock in.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're going
to... No, I was like, yeah, I said you had Sosa.
Sosa, yes. Yeah. Edmundo Sosa played last night. Okay. Bohm out, Sosa in. Okay, so that was the story, and that was what last night was. And I think Don Mattingly called it a reset for Bohm. Now, of course, this is Alec Bohm that we're talking about here.
Are you sure?
I am sure. What I'm not sure at this point is, and I think this is a really bad sign for Alec Bohm's chance to get back into the good graces of the new manager. Hugh, if I had to ask you right now, do you think Don Mattingly knows Alec Bohm's name?
Yes.
You're sure?
Yes.
You'd say that with...
I say it with confidence.
I'm not as confident.
Can you haven't heard this yet.
Can we hear the manager last night talking about the decision to sit Bohm?
Well, we just want to reset Alex. He's been working so hard and trying so hard. And this totally believe in Alex. No, in my heart, I know he's going to hit. And he's going to keep working and it's going to work out. But sometimes you just kind of pull him back a little bit. Let him, you know, sit, watch a game. Hopefully he's not in there doing it, hitting 1,000 balls today. He's more like taking a day because he's been hitting 1,000 balls every day. Or I'm using 1,000, but he's been hitting a lot trying to figure it out. And so just give him a little day to step back, hopefully not do really anything. I'd like to stay away from him in this game, but I will use him, let him know that he will, you know, if there's a spot that says Alec Bohm, then it's going to be Alec Bohm.
That's five Alexes in there.
Yeah, but I will say this as a guy.
No, Hugh, come on.
But I have to because I butcher names a lot. So I can't be mad at it. And plus, I'm pretty sure Dom has a lot going on. He got a lot going on, man. So it's one of those things where Dom has got a lot on his mind.
Don Mattingly. Donnie Baker.
I think he's trying to prove a point.
I'm trying to say. I can't get mad at him for butchering somebody's name when I do it on a daily basis.
He said it five times.
No. Because hold on. There's a difference, Hugh, between being tongue-tied and not knowing.
Well, sometimes you mess names up.
He doesn't know.
You say it like...
Okay, but...
He said it with confidence. He
sometimes you get tongue tied.
He thinks sometimes the guy's name's Alex.
He probably he probably holding on to the, riding that C out too long.
That's not how it ever works. Actually, Hugh, the first time I heard him do it, I think 2 days ago, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, he probably just rode that C out a little too long. You can't ride the C for five times in one conversation.
And then it doesn't help. I'm pretty sure he'll get it right today because somebody will probably say something to him.
You'd hope. This is not the first incident.
He's been the manager now for a week and a half. Yeah. I mean,
he called him Alex the other day too.
Also, that's what I'm saying because it's an extreme conscience, man. I can't get mad.
You're just looking out for your fellow old daddy.
Oh yeah, old ass daddy club. You know that.
Well,
daddy.
I'm not upset at Don Mattingly. What I am wondering is what this means for Alec Bohm's chances to get back in the lineup on a consistent basis. If the manager doesn't know your name, I don't think you're going to be playing a lot. I mean, that's my read on it.
Alec. The question is going against him this year.
The question is, will it be necessary to learn his name?
Or will he be out of here soon enough?
You know what? There's a little bit of that. It feels like there's that sentiment as well. You know, given the fact that the last couple seasons, you know, it's been documented that they've tried to move on from Alex Bohm.
Yes, Alec. You know what it reminds me of? Oh, two things. One, yesterday when I said that Alec Bohm doesn't really have any equity with Don Mattingly, right? Yeah. He hasn't played for him. It's not like he's been his manager
for years.
So it
ain't really, you need to know his name.
But no, but I think there's you do need to know his name. It reminds me, Hugh, do you remember when Kirk Cousins was in that contract dispute with the Commanders, the Washington
team? And they called him Kurt.
They called him Kurt.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew that Kirk would not be on the football team for much longer.
When they don't know your name or they don't get your name right,
then
it is a sign. I will say that in some cases, most cases, it's a sign of disrespect.
Well, again, I don't know if Don's trying to disrespect him. I don't think in this one.
I just think that, you know, he's trying to, you know, he has a lot on his plate and he's just trying to, you know, he's just riding the sea too long.
Right. But okay.
Alec.
Do you think there's any chance that Don would go into an interview and call Bryce Harper Bruce Harper?
No.
Okay. Do you think he would call?
But that's not fair because Bryce and Alec are in two different stratosspheres.
Well, that's kind
you
of
treat. What do you say? What did you say? What was it? Coach Tomlin said, "You treat everybody with respect, but you don't treat everybody the same."
But their first name?
Nah. But sometimes it's
I
like
I can't
that.
Believe you're defending this.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I gotta defend Don.
You don't.
Gotta defend Don.
Donnie Baseball.
I gotta defend the coach, man. I gotta defend him in this one because I mess up names all the time.
But you're tongue-tied.
I'm speaking stream of consciousness. No, sometimes okay, it's just like the mind. You know, my mind moving faster than my lips.
But you know their name. You just sometimes might say it wrong. He sounds like he does not know his name.
No, I think he knows.
These are different.
I think he thinks his name is Alec Bohm. Yeah. He thinks that.
That's a problem.
But it does sound like it goes together. It does sound like that.
They're very similar names. Yeah. Yes.
Do you think he'd be a better player if his name was Alec Bohm? I do, actually. I think he could actually hit as Alex.
It flows a little bit more.
I think Alec Bohm flows better.
Yeah? I looked at the pictures of Alec. You know, we were talking about in the break aging.
Yeah.
He looked like he's aged.
Well,
about,
that's not good because he's
no seriously. RJ side, go look at like some of the pictures. Yeah. He looks like
he's got a lot going on.
That's what I'm saying. He looks like he's physically wearing what he has going on.
Kind of feel bad for him today.
It really does suck.
You have all the family stuff, and now the manager doesn't know his name. I mean, like that's
it's unfortunate, man. It's real.
It's a super real possibility that like this whole thing hanging over him just kills the season.
It totally is.
And it's the most important season of his career. Yeah, it's actually a huge shame.
That's the crazy thing about it, man, because you're putting yourself in a position where it could go either way for you. And you got the potential lockout looming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough spot to be in.
And now the manager doesn't know his name. That's a huge thing. All right, 215-592-9490. For your reaction to all this, the Flyers, I'm blaming the refs for last night. Totally annoyed at that call that should have clearly been a major, was a minor. The Phillies here, Andrew Painter. I mean, his ERA, again, like I'm not kidding when I say this. This is borderline you can't pitch. If I didn't tell you the guy's name and I just said there's a pitcher in a rotation with a 6.89 earned run average, you'd say that guy's going to lose his job fast. Well, this guy's name is Andrew Painter, and he's pitching the Phillies out of a game every fifth day. Your reaction to Painter, how worried are you, and do we have a problem here? And we'll get to the Sixers coming up in just a few minutes with tonight, and then Embiid watch if he's good to play. Jake is up on WIP. Hey, Jake.
Hey, you guys. How's it going?
Good,
hey,
Jake. What's up?
Not much. So for a while, I was saying that they're going to like fire Topper, and you know what? What I've come to realize is it seems like it's less about who the manager exactly is, who they go to, but sort of that the spark gets created when a guy gets fired. It's honestly fascinating. You know, I had a feeling this would happen. I remember a while ago or 2 weeks ago when he got fired, you guys said how they do the next 13. Here, you said 9-4, right? Am I mistaken?
I remember him saying that. Yep, Jake?
Yeah, I did.
You don't remember saying it,
I was thinking the long... Well, they the Phillies, if they only need one more win to get that, so that's nice, you know. You know, because, like, I heard the whole argument I have about how they're getting older and everything, but you don't just go from close to a 600 winning percentage to the 321 they were at. You know, that doesn't happen in 1 year.
Well, you're right.
I knew that it is needed.
Yep, Jake, you're right about that. Like, at some point, and maybe this is the year, right, they're going to go from a World Series contender to more of a 500-ish team because they get old. But you're right about that. You don't go from 96 wins to like 60 wins unless there's just, you know, the whole team gets traded away or there's a million injuries. That and that's what they were trending towards, right? They were playing, like you said, 320, 330 baseball, which was crazy.
Exactly. And the whole, like, game yesterday, like, you know, about the whole, like, Andrew Painter thing, like, I will say I probably would want to give it a little more time. Because, I mean, I personally haven't been, for some reason, I haven't watched a lot of his games this year, personally. But you guys probably know more than me about the situation. But, yeah, that's too high of an ERA to be pitching. But I'd give it maybe a little more time. But the game yesterday doesn't change the way of how I feel. I think we're not going back to the 9-19, that's for sure.
Oh, no. They're going to be all right. And they played inspired baseball under Don Mattingly. Jake, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah,
appreciate it.
You did call that. That was part of your heater last week when you were getting everything right.
Yeah, I do remember that now because we were talking about how many games you're winning from this. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, and look,
in the moment when he said it, though.
But yeah, I know. You looked at me with a blank stare like I said that. That was me. Look, I'm not giving up on Andrew Painter, and I'm not worried about his career. But I just wonder if they have a plan B, Hugh, for this season, or if they just kind of budgeted in. We've waited. We've developed him. We're going to give him 30
starts.
Ride it out. And whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, I think you have to do that because there was a lot of hoopla about him when he was supposed to come up, and then he had the injury and everything, and then that, had to.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Put him on the back burner, and then there was a lot of talk about whether or not you wanted to trade him, and you were real bullish about if that was the case, you weren't going to do it. So, yeah, you got to let him ride it out, man.
So, all right, I think you're probably right. I think that's probably what they planned. We're just going to ride it out. We're going to give him the full season, and he's going to develop. Are we okay with this if it costs them the playoffs? It could. I mean, you start 9-19. Again, you have to play really good baseball for the next 5 months to clean up that mess, right, to get back to 90-ish wins.
Mm-hmm.
If he has a year where he's this bad, even though it means he's developing under the surface and he's going to be good down the line, that could be a lot of loss. Like, it's not inconceivable to me that if he pitches all year like this, that they miss the playoffs because they've just pissed away a game every fifth day.
I feel like since you fired Topper prematurely, and what I mean by that is, like, a couple weeks. No, let me finish before y'all jump all over me.
You
a couple weeks.
What did you do?
Premature.
No, listen to
premature
what I'm saying.
Premature? Firing a Topper?
Well, he wanted to trade Bryce Harper to the Yankees.
Wow!
You guys are ridiculous.
But was necessary.
Dombrowski said, the only reason I said that is because Dombrowski said that you really can't tell what a team is until 40 games in. And they were premature in their assessment because it was like, what, 20-something games or something like that?
28 games.
So that's what I mean by that. So it feels like you've already decided that if he's not as good as he needs to be, you're going to ride it out. Yeah. So they've already kind of made that decision.
So maybe not premature, but just early in the season.
Okay, early in the season. Okay, so you got caught up on the wording.
Well, gotcha. Yeah, I did.
Well, that's well,
as that, we
what
often
gonna,
do.
What are you going to do about it?
Call you out.
Yeah, and what?
What are you going to do about it? Nothing.
Is that how the conversation?
Come on, big guy.
I'm
just saying.
Is this how the conversation is going to go between Mattingly and Bohm when Bohm's like, you know, my name is Alec.
What are you going to do? I'm going to call you Alec. Right, what are you going to do
you
about it?
You make me sound so snotty.
I need to ask you, Hugh, as a former athlete who played for lots of coaches. Let's say you were in Alec Bohm's shoes, and maybe you, I don't know, he doesn't hear these interviews on WIP, obviously he's getting ready for a game, but let's just say or maybe he's in the car right now and he's like, what are those dummies talking about? Oh, crap, they're ripping me again. All right, so let's say Bohm gets wind that Mattingly doesn't know his name, or, you know, in the clubhouse, Don's like, Alex, come on in, and we'll talk to you for a second in the office. Hugh, he's known him now as a coach since February. Mm-hmm. He's been his manager for a week and a half. Mm-hmm. If you were Alec Bohm, do you just accept your name as now Alex to your new manager because you don't want to step on you know, the new guy? Or do you say something like, Don, appreciate you, but it's actually Alec. How do you handle this?
Come on, Joe, you know me. And I've been fired for less. So, I mean, and you know what? I'm working on that side.
Yeah. So you would say something.
As I get older, the thing with me would be, how would I say it?
Right.
And what mood would I be in when he, you know what I mean? Like, I'm already in a bad spot, you know? So if I come in office and he's calling me Alex, it's only going to be one or two before I retort. And it probably won't be nice, and it's probably going to put me in a worse spot than I'm already in.
So you're saying we're not going to do a Jim Rome, Chris Everett thing?
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to be like, hold up, that's not my name. And I would say it like, hey, that's not my name.
Call me Chris one more time.
Yeah, because it's one of those things for guys when they're, you know, some people don't play about their name, like at all. You know, so it's one of those things where it all depends on how Alex hears it.
Alec. Hears it.
Yeah, just like I just did.
Well, he's going to hear it as it's not his name.
No, but
how else do you hear a name that's not yours?
But, you know, it's kind of like this. Like, because I try to teach Harper this. Because, you know, Harper has long hair, and a lot of times it's in a ponytail. And a lot of time when we're out, they'll say, oh, she's cute.
Yeah, I get that.
And I keep telling him, but I say it's a he. He doesn't say anything.
Does he get upset, or he doesn't?
He doesn't say anything because it doesn't register for him. I say, Harper, you have to start telling people. I'm not going to always be with you.
Speak up for yourself.
You have to do that. But he's seven,
right?
And he's not going to do that. But I tell people, because they say, oh, she's so pretty. I'm like, it's a he, you know, just because he has long hair and he's dressed like a boy. He's not wearing a dress and ponytails. He just has long hair.
Sure, yeah.
But I tell him all the time. I was like, hey, man, speak up. And I'm trying to teach him that now, but it's one of those things where you have to speak up for yourself. And so if I'm Alec, if it's me and I feel some kind of way, you go in his office and say, hey, my name is Alec.
Yeah, what if you're Alex, though?
Yeah, if I'm Alex, it'd be like, don't call me Alec.
I just need this to continue for like another couple of weeks. I just wonder how long it could go on that he just calls him Alex. It's amazing.
But you know what? To be honest, I feel like with everything else, he has going on. He like,
well,
his
that's,
name.
Yeah, that's small potatoes.
Yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. And it's tough because, like I said, I saw some pictures of him the other day, and yeah. I was like, he looks like he's aged.
It kind of reminds me because we got a lot going on the show. We're trying to juggle a lot of things. And once in a while, I'd say once a year in the open when you call me John, I just let it go.
Yeah, yeah, that happens every now and then. That's why I'm saying I can't be mad. I can't be mad at Don.
I guess Joe and John is similar to Alec and Alex, right?
Yeah.
You know where you're going the first couple of letters, but you just change that last one and it goes awry. All right, 215-592-9494. Your calls on all this. The Phillies last night. How concerned are you and how concerned should we be about Andrew Painter? I just wonder if there's a plan B to the Painter thing, because it's like, are we just going to let him pitch the whole year? And seriously, it could cost him a postseason spot if this is the way he pitches the entire season. Pivotal Sixers game 3 tonight. We're here for Embiid Watch. Keep it here. We'll tell you as soon as we get the news if he's in, if he's out. Also, OG Anunoby, latest on all that coming up. And do we hope or do we believe the Sixers could actually come back and do this? We'll discuss that next. And your take on the Flyers, who went down last night. I am annoyed at the referees for that call, the missed call, which should have been a major. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
What do we need here? Sixers win?
Some drunk text.
Embiid to play?
And Embiid. We need Embiid.
Well, we're going to find out if he plays shortly here. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillespie, your take on the Flyers last night. I'm still annoyed at the referees. That missed call or blown call or bad call towards the end of the second period, to me, changed the whole flow of the game and cost the Flyers last night. And we have ourselves an Andrew Painter problem. Your reaction at all, 215-592-9494. And if you have any suggestions on how Alec Bohm should tell Don Mattingly his name is actually Alec and not Alex, we'll take those as well. But here we got a big game three tonight, and it is... It's time for the Sixers to respond because their backs are against the wall. They were last series. We saw that. And they went down 3-1 and came back.
And but the Knicks fans in town, too, man.
Well, how do we think that's going to go tonight? So there was a full-on effort by Joel Embiid after the Celtics series to say, don't sell your tickets. And the Sixers put up that little virtual fence, right, to let not people from around here get those tickets. Hugh, what's your guess on what that building's going to sound like tonight when they tip it off?
It's going to be a lot of Sixers fans in there. I mean, excuse me, a lot of Knicks fans in there. They got money, dog. I mean, and it's, you know, we got, you know, gas as high as it is.
Hold on.
That's trying to get that bread,
hold,
dog.
Hold on.
I mean, I'm not
hold
judging.
Hold on.
I'm not judging anybody.
There's no way we could be okay if we get overrun by Knicks fans because of gas prices.
I did not say I was okay with it.
You kind of alluded to it.
I just said I understand.
I don't.
I understand.
Nope.
Because, you know, when you got people paying double and triple the prices for your ticket.
You can't do it this time.
I would imagine, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm recklessly speculating here because it's Friday. I would imagine, say if Spike Lee wanted to come to the game, right? And, you know, he sits on the floor. There's somebody out there that has the floor seats that Spike wants to sit in for he can trash talk. And if Spike give you $30,000 for your seats, what are you going
to
do?
Well, here's my retort to that. The people that sit down low don't need the money.
It's not like if
I had that seat and I can make $30,000, that's a different story. You can afford that seat. You don't need money.
There's somebody out there that if you give them $30,000, if you paid $15,000, for the seats, two seats, $15,000, and he's giving you $30,000 for one ticket. Joe,
can you believe this guy on a Friday before Game 3 is trying to compartmentalize and understand Sixers fans selling tickets?
Okay, what if it's $100,000?
But why are we just saying? I don't want to sell my ticket. I want to go to the game.
$100,000. So you got two floor seat tickets.
Well, no one's spending $100,000 on Game 3 of the second round.
How do you know that?
Well, that's not what this is.
How do you know? How do you know though?
Well, I can guess.
Okay, $50,000.
I don't want the Knicks fans here.
Give me $50,000.
I can't believe as we jump into the Sixers conversation, I got Douglas rationalizing a bunch of blue and orange in that building tonight.
I'm not saying that is right. I'm just saying I understand.
Well, no. And you're wrong for that.
Okay, maybe. But that's $50,000. I'll be $50,000 wrong. Somebody out there right now got a come up on selling their tickets.
So someone
did. And if you
did
come
up,
call us. What's the number? 215-941.
No, stop.
I forgot the number. Call. Give him the number, Kyle. 215.
Let's hear you try it again.
No.
215-592-9494.
Yeah, call in and tell us how much you got for your tickets.
Why would that person want to put themselves out there to get blasted by all this?
We don't know them.
No,
we don't know.
I don't want to talk to Benedict Arnold Douglas over here.
No, I'm just saying, step up and tell us how much they pay for the tickets because somebody broke bread for some tickets.
I'm going to hold the line on this one. You're wrong, okay? But here's my thing.
I got to remember that number, too. If I had my notebook, I got my notebook
yesterday. Have you realized
yesterday.
All these teams have fallen off since you lost your notebook?
I lost my notebook.
We basically lost the Flyers series.
It got wet.
Yeah.
But I got to write it down.
I can't believe we're still waiting. What's going on around here? They don't have another notebook in the back.
Well, they just had to make sure I had to get the right one. My problem was this. I asked the secretary. I won't put a name out there, but I said, could you get it? Because it was blue. It was royal blue.
Hold on. You asked for a specific color notebook?
Yes, because it was royal blue.
Well, he didn't tell us this, Kyle, that he asked for a specific color notebook.
Yeah, because she tried to give me a red. She tried to give me a red.
So there is a notebook there available?
Those in the know understand exactly where I'm coming from. And I asked her, I said, is it possible? Can I get a royal blue?
This is a joke.
No, it's not. It's there's a significance because the last one was blue, so I need another royal blue one.
I started today mad at the referees last night. I'm now mad at Hugh Douglas.
But she tried to give me a red one. I ain't want no red one. Like more like crimson. I don't want no crimson notebook.
All right.
I needed a royal blue.
I'm going to take a deep breath on this. Okay, I'm going to compose myself because I'm going to lose it. First of all, we're out of notebooks here. Apparently, you need a special color notebook. Do you think it's going to be a big Knicks crowd tonight? You seem like you do.
I do.
I don't. Now, if they're up big in the fourth quarter, we're going to hear them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's a small contingent of Knicks fans, we're going to hear them because they'll be the loud ones and Sixers fans will be quiet or leaving or whatever. I don't think it's going to be like that. I do think there is something to what the Sixers did by putting kind of a wall up to buy the tickets. And I think last time it was a special circumstance. It was a first-round series, and Embiid had missed a lot of time towards the end of the regular mm-hmm. season. I think people had sold their playoff tickets kind of early. This time, I don't know, man. Like, imagine having a Game 3 ticket, and the Sixers win in Boston in Game 7, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to sell my ticket. No, you're going to want to be there.
Joe, somebody, like, the one thing that New Yorkers do, because it's so expensive yep. up there, they'll come down here and spend money.
Of course they will.
And for them to be a part of this, whatever it is, they're willing to pay. And there are some people out there, like Philadelphia fans are loyal. And Stateside Live will be packed with Philadelphia fans. Maybe a lot of the fans that were going to go to the game, but they got that $10,000 to $20,000 windfall, so they're going to go ahead and watch it over there. They'll be there, but, I mean, again, I understand. I mean, you know, I understand it if you gave up your tickets, especially for the type of money that they're going to pay.
Well,
and then take that ass with.
I think it'd be a shame if it's a big Knicks crowd today. Now, as far as the series goes, 215-592-9494, where do you come down on their chances to come back in this series? Hugh, is this more you believe they're going to do this or you hope they can?
I believe they're going to do it. They've done it before, Joe, and coming home. And we've seen Maxi have these kind of games where, you know, when he had to adjust with Joel and B being on the court, and then where he had to adjust with him out without him being yep. on the court. I think they can. I do. I really do.
So I'm in the hope category. Look, I know they did it last week, and it was an incredible comeback on the Celtics. It's hard to do this again. And quite frankly, we don't know the health status of Joel Embiid. So I do have the line on the game sitting in front of me here. I'm looking at a Sixers -1.5 line on the game. So that tells me a couple things. I mean, this has gone from 7.5 in game one, 10.5 in game two. I think this is a Embiid is in, Ananobi is out line. That's my guess on what this means.
Sixer
favored by 1.5 in the game tonight. I think it is very unlikely OG Ananobi plays coming off a hamstring issue. And I think Embiid is going to play tonight. We'll find out everything coming up. But can we hear Ian Begley up in New York talking about the OG Ananobi injury, which is a big one in the series. He's one of their better players.
The Knicks seemingly getting good news on OG Ananobi on Thursday. He will be questionable for Game 3 on Friday. He's got a hamstring strain, and he's considered day-to-day, and that's according to sources familiar with the matter. Now, people feared the worst when OG Ananobi left Game 2, 2.5 minutes to go, close game, kind of hobbling there. And so the day after, it was determined that the Knicks, again, dodging a significant injury here with Ananobi. And I'm told that there is optimism in the locker room that Ananobi will be playing in Philadelphia, Game 3 in Philadelphia Friday, Game 4 in Philadelphia Sunday. There's optimism that he'll be back within those games. And so breathing a sigh of relief, I'm sure the Knicks are, because you really can't overstate how important Ananobi's been to this team in the postseason.
Well, he's obviously a good player. I'd be shocked if they play him today.
He was like 20-some points tonight that they beat us up there. Before he went out of the game, he had like 20-some, 26 points?
He's averaging 21 in the playoff. I just think they'd be crazy to play him tonight, up 2-0. I mean, maybe I'm wrong and they're going to roll him out there, but a hamstring issue up 2-0 in a series feels like a mistake on their part. So we'll see what they do. I would guess he's not going to play. That report is leaning towards he could play. And then the Embiid thing. So, Hugh, the other part of this is Joel Embiid, if he's going to play and what he's going to look like. What's your gut telling you on Embiid? He's playing tonight?
When you talk about the stat line or whatever, the betting line, I would say, Joe, probably no. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no, because when you talk about the visual that I have of Joel Embiid was when he was coming off the court and he was hobbled. He was super hobbled. I think that he might be able to play, but you give him another chance to rest.
Well, to me, if he doesn't play tonight, I question if he's going to play again in the series. You're down 2-0. I mean, if he doesn't play tonight and you lose, the series is basically over.
I hear you, and that makes sense, but the way that this happened, and it was kind of like a out of the blue gut punch type of situation yep. when you know he's talking about he's going to play and then he doesn't. You try to get him as much rest as you possibly can, because let's be honest, if we by the grace of God we get past this series, this is probably something that we're going to be having to deal with the whole way through, like trying to figure out how to manage Joel Embiid's health moving forward. So I would say if I'm going off of the ankle injury, don't know how bad it was, and the hip, you know, coincided together. So I would probably say with that, probably not tonight. Or if he does play tonight, it's probably going to be in limited time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say try to give him as much rest as you possibly can.
He has to play tonight.
I mean, I hear you, and I was thinking that early on, Joe.
He has to play tonight. It's game three. You're down 0-2.
I hear you, Joe, but this is something that we're going to have to manage this whole playoff series.
Well, I know, but then I guess for me, if he's sore, is he not going to be sore on Sunday? Or is he not going to be sore next Tuesday after playing
that's
Sunday?
That's something different.
Right, but you're down 0-2.
That's something different. And I don't know. Soreness and being injured are two different things. Hurt and injured are two different things. Now, to me, it sounds like you're thinking more hurt.
Well, I mean, these are playoff games, right?
Yeah, everybody's hurt. But I feel like this is more injury. And when you talk about him gingerly leaving the field with his ankle, that might take a little bit more time.
Can I have this then tonight? Can he try? Like, when you play, again, it's not like football where you have to deactivate a player, right? It's not like they're going to play a man down if he tries and then he can't go. Can he? I think he owes it tonight to everyone to try to get into warmups, to get out there. And if he can't move in warmups and he says, Nick, I can't do it, then all right, you don't play. But like, I can't have it 1 o'clock today during our show. We get the news he's out again. Like, I think he owes it to his team and everyone to try tonight.
I hear you, Joe, and I understand where you're coming from. But if by some way we can figure out a way to win, because not having Ananobili out there, Ananobili, whatever.
OG.
Yeah, OG. Just say OG.
Ananobi.
By not having him out there.
I think you put the G into his last name.
Yeah, I did. Ananobili. But
thinking Manu Ginobili?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Manu was a heck of a player.
I'm thinking that by him not being out there, it kind of equalized everything. Because like I said, he had like 20-some points the other night. So you give Joel Embiid another chance to rest. That's what I'm thinking.
This is an amazing Hugh Douglas segment.
What do you mean?
We're resting Embiid and down 0-2, and we're okay with the fans taking over.
No,
I'm not okay with it, Joe,
but I understand it. That's a lot of money, man.
No, I don't care about that.
I know you don't care nothing about it, but that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Shout out 215-592-9494. Somebody who sold their ticket. Did I get it right? Got it right.
You did. You nailed it.
Who sold their tickets?
You're a bad fan if you sold your tickets.
Not, you are
you're
not.
You're,
a, don't listen
you
to Joe Giglio. You
fan.
Are not a bad fan.
You're
you are a business person.
Hugh.
That's good business.
2 years ago, they came down here and
they took over.
They were chanting. Okay,
but the problem is you can't be both tonight. You can either be a fan or you can be a businessman.
Yep.
Well, which one will you
see,
be?
See, here's
bad
the thing.
Bad fan if I know you sold tonight.
Here's the thing, though.
Of course.
There's a lot of people. Here. I don't care about the fans that they never gave up their season tickets, but they were kind of down on the squad. I would venture to say that there's a lot of people like that. This is the chance for a windfall. This is the chance potentially, and I don't know how much tickets cost, but you know if you could fleece, you could probably fleece some of the Knicks fans. You go over there. If they give you what you want for your tickets, it could potentially put you in a position to pay for your tickets for next season.
You're a bad fan if you do it tonight.
I don't think so.
How else?
I'm not going to be mad at you.
What kind of fan are you?
If I had court-size seats.
Well, this is why we don't let you have those.
That's
because you're giving them away to anyone waving some cash at you.
Listen, if Spike Lee said, Hugh, I want your tickets, I give you $100,000 for both of them. All right, then, dog. This is all you.
Yeah.
Tax-free?
Well, most people aren't dealing with
straight
Spike
cash.
Lee. They're dealing with ticket app.
And Bob got bread, too.
Bob doesn't have... Just screw Bob's bread. Let's go to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. T in South Philly, up on WIP. What's up, T?
Well, how y'all doing?
Good, T. What are you thinking?
I'm sitting here listening to y'all, and y'all talking about the fans, because I'm from Philly. I'm from South Philly. And I understand the loyalty of Philly. We show up, we take over stadiums and everything. Like the Eagles fans take over stadiums.
Yep.
Like, that's what we do. You know what I mean? So when one time I'm listening, I see Joel Embiid pleading for the fans to, like, come to the games. Like, yo, like, make sure that y'all show up and come to the games and, you know what I mean, show support and all that. But in order for us to come to the games, to show up,
you got to show up.
Yeah, he got to play. How can you tell somebody to play, to show up to the game and spend their money and don't sell their tickets when you ain't even playing in the game? Like, when he told us that, I'm like, okay, he's going to show up. He's playing. You know what I mean? He just needs us to support. And he's right. Like, everybody, don't let them take over our stadium. But at the same time, I look at the report, he's not even playing. I'm like, now, how in the world do that mix? Because if he would have played and we'd have stole one game, it would have made the fans be so hyped. We Philly fans, we'd have been hyped. We'd have been like, okay, we're going to the game. Like, we'd have been there. We wouldn't have let the New York fans take over. But at the same time, if you didn't show up and we lost, now we 0-2, what makes you think that if you don't show up, what makes you think that they going to do something for you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Well, you ain't do nothing for us. Like, you ain't show up for that game for us.
Wow, I mean, that makes sense.
No, it's a fair point. I mean, and be it on Sunday, right, or Saturday, right, after they won game seven.
He'll pay for the tickets.
Yeah, he said don't sell the tickets. I mean, and then...
No.
But, yeah.
We don't want him to pay for the tickets. We want you to play, brother.
Right.
That's all we want you to do, man. We just want you to play. So, like okay, like, if he was hurt, okay, he hurt. But when he made that comment, I'm like, okay, I was in. I was on his side, totally, because I'm like... Man, I was hurt to see all them fans from New York come in here and take over our stadium. I was hurt. I'm like, man, this is not Philly no more. Like, we really done. You know what I'm saying? But when he said that, I'm like, yeah, Embiid, that's what's up, man. Even if you had to say it, man. So fans can be like, you know what? Embiid said it. We going to show up. But then you didn't even play. Like, come on, bro. Like, it don't make no sense to me, man. Like, it's crazy. And I understand he hurt. I understand all that. But you can't say nothing like that and tell somebody to show up when you don't even show up. When you getting paid money to sit down and they got to go to the game to see their team lose if you don't play or show up. Like, come on, bro. Like, you got to make sense of stuff.
Well, you do. And, T, it's a good phone call, man. We appreciate it. Kyle, what do you feel that building's going to be tonight? I don't think it's going to be a takeover. I don't think it's going to be. Now, if they're up big late, that you'll hear Knicks fans, right?
Yeah.
The Sixers fans will walk out or just be quiet. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be like 2 years ago.
It's not going to be a takeover. Look, the reality of the situation is there's going to be a pretty healthy contingent of Knicks fans.
Yep, and that would always happen.
But
2 years ago, it was enormous.
Yeah, and part of why it bothered me for Embiid to say that is it's entirely up to how they play as to whether or not we hear Knicks fans in that building.
Right, because no matter what, there will be more Sixers
fans,
no matter what. They
could take them out of the game by just winning, by beating the Knicks. You're not going to hear "Let's go Knicks" and all that crap unless the Sixers give them a reason to. So, like, it's entirely up to them. Now, I don't think it's not going to be as bad as it was, I think, a few years ago, and it's not going to be like the regular season when it's basically all New York fans. Like, Sixers fans are going to show up. I think everyone knows the importance of this series, and I think they've shedded a little bit of the wake me up after the second round thing because they beat Boston.
Yeah, yep.
So, like, I do think that there's a chance for it to get a little bit revved up in there, but, like, entirely up to the Sixers if we hear Knicks fans.
I also think the second round's different than first round. A few years ago, Embiid had missed 25 games at the end of the regular season. We didn't even know if they're going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That was a first round series. It was easy to check out in February of that year. This is kind of new, right? Because the win over the Celtics, to me, changed the tenor of everything the way we talk about the Sixers heading into this series. I do not think it's going to be a takeover tonight, and I anticipate Embiid playing. As far as winning the series, I'm more in the hope camp. I mean, they have a lot of work to do, and we'll see how long Ananobi is out. I'd feel better if he was out for longer, but it sounds like it's not that big of an injury. Slick Rick in West Philly. What's up, Slick Rick?
Fellas, Hugh, my man, happy Friday to everybody.
Happy Friday, man. Happy Friday.
Slick Rick, what's up, buddy?
Check it out. You played up there, right? You played up there. And you know it's a different type time up there in New York. Listen, you're going to go in their pockets. And as wrong as it may be, some people, before the season starts, they'll buy their tickets with already definitively deciding in advance, no matter who they're playing, what the circumstances are, that they're going to make their money back on the playoffs. Now, I don't agree with that, but I know people who do. So it's not like I'm just, like, hypothesizing. I'm telling you the facts of the matter. People do it in the beginning when they pay. And $100,000,
okay.
if Spike has it like that, shoot, I'm right there like, hold on, Spike. I'll give it to you for 95. Don't do you for 100. I got you for 90. Listen.
And Slick, I'm not mad at you. That's business. That's business.
I'm keeping it 100.
Yeah, that's business.
It's not personal. It's not personal. It's business.
Yeah,
that's a vacation for me and my lady.
Yeah, I ain't mad at
you.
I don't give a shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I heard him.
You my man. We go back to New York like babies in high chairs. Come on, man.
Man, I tell you. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of bread, man. That's a lot of bread. So I'm not mad at somebody
Absolutely.
Who, if that went for. Yeah.
Well, that's an amazing amount of bread.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's like, great, good phone call. I get it. But, Hugh,
just say you don't care about the Sixers.
Most people aren't being offered $100,000.
No, but
it's a few $100 they're making. I mean, let's be real.
No, if they want my tickets, I'm head cracking. If I had, what's the ticket to get in the game? About $100, $125. I'm selling my tickets. Say if I had two of them. $1,000 a piece.
Yeah, but if everyone thought like you, it would be Madison Square Garden South.
I mean, there's a lot of people that think like
that. Well, but that's what happened 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that's probably
a
good chance it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen again at that level.
I hope not.
Well, then, you know, why'd you buy the tickets to begin with if you weren't going to go?
Because you knew at some point that there might be an opportunity to get some money.
Well, then you're not really in it to be a fan. You're in it to make a dollar.
And let me tell you, there might have been some folks out there that bought tickets when Joel Embiid came back. And again, do not subscribe to this, but these are how some people think. And when this started to go south, and there are people out there feeling probably right now like same old Joel.
Well, maybe.
You know, and they're like, why should I go when he's probably not going
to
go?
I think the Sixers have earned the right to have a good crowd tonight.
No, I totally agree with you.
The last time last weekend, they just won a Game 7 in Boston. This is their first home game since the biggest win they've had in years.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Well, then if that place is overrun tonight, then it's shame on everyone who sold their tickets. I mean, it's shame on all those individuals. I don't think it's going to be like that, but we shall see. 215-592-9494. Your thoughts on the Sixers tonight. Hope or believe they can come back and win this series. The Flyers, I'm still annoyed at that call last night. And we have an Andrew Painter situation we are monitoring here on the Midday Show. Your calls on all this and a Fransky Friday. We'll talk to Scott coming up. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.